It's that time, NFL draft time, NFL mock draft time today here Wednesday afternoon. I'm your host, Chris Dell. You can find me on Twitter at Mad Journalist with two D's. Joined here by our special guest, Tony Adame. Did I get that right, Tony? Last name Adame, perfect. Is that how you say it?
Perfect,
there
man.
You go.
Thank
I like
you.
It.
You nailed it.
Tony's represents StadiumTalk.com. He's a website that we partner with at Betting Predators to do some content here in the future. He also put out a mock draft about a week ago, I believe, and he's covered football pretty much his entire life. He's based in Florida here, like I am as well. And we're going to go through, we're going to do a live mock draft. We're going to talk about at the end maybe some best bets, boldest predictions that we have going into Thursday's round one. So without further ado, Tony, just tell me a little bit about yourself to the audience here. You know, you cover a lot of college sports, cover a lot of college football, different things like that. What do you do for Stadium Talk and kind of what's your background here?
Yeah, I've been a senior writer at Stadium Talk for the last almost 4 years now. We cover a lot of things. We hit a lot of historical, like high school sports, high school football, college football, NFL, NBA. We cover quite a lot of things. And lately, really been hitting on the NFL draft. Yeah, I did cover, you know, Big 12 football for quite a long time in the Midwest and in Texas. And I've been here and pumping out these stories every week. Just like you said, we're really happy to be here is the main thing. We're, you know, the content sharing, everything. We love being on things like this and being able to do stuff like this because it's really fun. And the mock draft stuff is kind of why, you know, I love drafts so much, the speculation. And I'm NFL draft, NBA draft. I mean, I'm even an MLB draft guy, which is sick. NHL draft, I'm there. But I'm with it.
We welcome sick people like yourself, the degenerates on these types of shows. So kudos to you on that. I'm a big NBA draft junkie myself. And then when it comes to the NFL draft, I probably covered it more this year than I have in years past. We placed top 20 in the draft accuracy competition when we did our first one a couple years back. We didn't do it last year. We didn't get the deadline in time. We're focused on a lot of other things that we've been doing at bettingpredators.com. But if you haven't seen, we have a free tool on our site that you can access here if you're listening, if you're watching. Either on our podcast or our live feed, where you
great.
Can see our you can see our consensus ADPs, right? So we talk about fantasy football. What's an ADP? It's an average draft position. Well, in this case, I'm manually curating all the top industry mock drafts out there. So we have Albert Breer. We've got Scott Smith from 4for4.com. We've got Peter King, Daniel Jeremiah. The list goes on and on and on. What we're doing is we're taking only the most recent mock drafts from the past 6-7 days, basically the past week. We're using those to create our consensus player ADPs. So right now we have 14 different mock drafts that are live putting those averages together. We've got about 45 plus mock drafts in our database that you can look at dating back all the way to mid-March when we were doing post-free agency mock drafts and putting those in here. But I only want to use the averages for what's come out and been the most recent as news continues to trickle out every single day, every single hour here over the next 24 hours or so as well. We also have that I put in here is three different sportsbook odds. Now you can only really get these for like the top 10 picks and they're not, you have to take them with a grain of salt because some guys like a Will Anderson, for example, he's not the favorite to go any pick in the top 10 on DraftKings. But if you look at his top 10 odds, probably isn't even on the board because he's almost a lock to go top 10. So I have an NA not applicable for him when it comes to the DraftKings odds top 10. But using DraftKings, FanDuel, Caesars, it gives you a good idea of like where the market is right now in terms of, look, doesn't mean that they have information because they don't. It's just where they've taken action and where the sharp people in the market have really pushed those numbers to by betting their own money as well. So I want to use those three different sportsbook odds just for those top 10 picks to combine them with the 14 current mock drafts. I updated mine yesterday. I'm probably going to do another update tonight before I submit my official one for the accuracy competition too. We also have our big board consensus ranks. Same thing applies here. I have my top 200, which I put in there. These are my personal prospect ratings on players. And we have our big board average ranks, which takes Daniel Jeremiah, Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, the top 150 from all the pretty much about a dozen or so of the top industry big boards and puts them all together into an average as well. And you can compare consensus mock draft position versus consensus big board rank and all those different things using our sheet. Another shout out to Math Bomb on Twitter, who created the RAS score, the relative athletic score, score, which I put those on a weighted scale here for all the players who actually tested for a RAS score at the combine. So anyways, go to bettingpredators.com, free tool, check it out. Other than that, we're gonna jump in here. Tony and I, we're gonna do a mock draft. Tony, I'm gonna give you the honors here. You're our special guest.
Thanks.
We're gonna go number one. I know you're buying in. You told me before the show, man, you're buying into the Reddit hype, and Will Levis is going number one, right?
Not this year. I'm gonna get to Levis in a second because that's fascinating to me. I'm going number one with the Panthers. Going with Bryce Young. I know the argument is like, all right, well, too small, not durable. The other side of it to me is they've changed the rules enough now that there's a reason why this type of quarterback is able to go number one overall. And we've seen it already a couple times in the last decade. You know, Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray are not typically, and I know they're not great examples, but to go number one overall, you don't have to be 6'4", 6'5", and 220, 230 pounds anymore. So while I'm not totally saying I think he's going to be, you know, an elite quarterback anytime soon or if ever, to me, that's who they take because they need a quarterback. They need anything so bad at that position.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the odds reflect that in the market that Bryce Young is going to be number one. You know, a lot of talk originally was that it was going to be C.J. Stroud even less than a month ago. And the whole narrative about Frank Reich liking these big, tall, athletic quarterbacks. And I think that what happened was that the coaches really liked Stroud a lot, but then you throw in the factors of the S2 score and things like that and kind of slipped him down the board. And then they kind of came to
the consensus that Bryce Young wasn't going to be the number one pick. He said something about it today, actually. Did you see that? He said,
"No, who said that?"
Stroud said, "I'm there to play. I'm there to play football, not take tests."
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one there because it's going to get really interesting once we get to probably pick number four with the Colts in terms of what's going to happen with Stroud. And I think maybe the furthest he can fall is pick 11 with the Titans, but who knows really at this point. What the number two pick? Oh, man, this is a tough one because a lot of people now have Tyree Wilson. He's become the unanimous favorite across DraftKings, FanDuel, and Caesars for the number two pick, but it's close. And the runner-up is Will Levis. Will Levis, I had yesterday as my number two pick. A lot of people are saying they're going to go defense first. I think when push comes to shove, here's how I approach this, is that the Colts have made it known that they like Levis a lot. They're a division rival, obviously, with the Houston Texans. We know the Texans have the 12th pick. So I think that the Texans can't just go defense and let the Colts get the guy that they like, especially when there's been legitimate reports that Levis is the second quarterback on the Texans board behind Bryce Young. So yeah, I've seen mocks say, hey, the Texans are going to trade up to three and take Levis and take a defender at number two. I could see that happen as well. But for now, assuming no trades in this draft, there's going to be a lot of really good defensive ends and edge rushers, et cetera, at pick 12. I'm going to stick with this. They need a franchise quarterback. I'm going to put them Will Levis as the number two pick overall to the Houston Texans.
To me, this is another example of where, you know, you watch a lot of college football and the NFL draft will make you question your sanity and wonder if you were actually watching the games during the fall. And like, I hear the upside on Levis is always people compare him to Josh Allen. I watched him play quite a bit. I did not see that type of athleticism or toughness there to be honest. And that's, that's a solid pick. Your reasoning there is really good. I'm questioning this.
You know, I think that one thing that I've seen is that there's some legitimate, maybe let's say, excuses you can make for Levis, but also positives. He tested very well on the S2 test. It's been well known that maybe the NFL likes him a little bit more than draft Twitter likes him. You also look at the fact he had multiple injuries this past season. When you look at his tape in 2021, it was actually really, really good. And he didn't really have much to throw to. He's got multiple connections in terms of coaches on the Texans staff who have links to the Kentucky offense as well. I think there's enough to connect the dots there. Now, I don't think this is a lock by any means. I thought it was a decent bet to make when it was plus money. But at the same time, I could definitely see it going either way. But let's assume Levis goes number two here. You know, the athletic tools are there. Obviously, the size is there. And I think that they need a quarterback. You know, you take your swings at this point in the draft. You can get an elite edge rusher at 12 still, like a Lucas Van Ness, like a Miles Murphy, like a Nolan Smith. I think that that alone should be enough to push that in the Texans' directions and take a quarterback here, especially when the Colts, you don't want to let your division rival Colts take their guy here. Who do you have going at number three?
Number three to the Arizona Cardinals. I'm, you know, going to take common sense and go with Will Anderson Jr., linebacker / defensive end out of Alabama. I know people said the stuff about his production was down this year, but his production being down is a breakout like career season for anyone else. They need so much help, you know, all over the place. But to me, it's like he can come in and make an impact on the level of like a Micah Parsons for the Cowboys. You're going to get that sort of production, I think, out of him instantly. And he'll be, you know, arguably your best defensive player right away. So that's what I'm going with right there at three to the Cardinals.
And I know you said you've covered the Big 12 in the past as well. So, you know, Tyree Wilson, Texas Tech versus Will Anderson. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I with Wilson, my hesitation too is a little bit of like, I like, and I know there's this kind of ageism with this deal, but it's like, all right, you play five, whatever he was at A&M, then transfers to Texas Tech, has, you know, one really good year with Texas Tech, and then he's shooting up the draft boards. And with Anderson, I know from watching them play the last 3 years, he's been the guy. And the moment he's ready to go to the NFL, he's out of there. And I think that speaks to, you know, his maturity level, first of all, and also the consistency of it. You know, it wasn't like, you know, Tyree Wilson was a great – people weren't talking about him until he had the 1 year at Texas Tech. And or I guess he had two pretty good years. But it's like, man, I just believe what my eyes see with Will Anderson.
Yeah, I hear you there. There's been some reports that the Cardinals are really high on Devin Witherspoon. That there was a report the other day that Kyler Murray urged the front office and coaching staff to take Paris Johnson, that he really liked Paris Johnson a lot as well. So there's some links there. I bet Paris Johnson, I believe it was like 75-1 to go number three. Now it's like plus 500. So that was steamed a lot in the last couple of days. I think a dark horse, honestly, still is Jalen Carter to go number three overall. The Cardinals, it doesn't look like they're going to be able to trade out. I don't think many teams are going to trade up with them at number three, given like the overall weakness, you would say, of the quarterback class in this draft. And the Colts kind of sitting there being like, you know what, we'll take Stroud if he's there. We'll take Richardson if he's there. You know, it doesn't really matter. So like, it kind of depreciates the value of that three pick. So if they're stuck there, I definitely could see Anderson, Wilson. I think Carter at like a 15-1 bet is a solid dark horse to go there too, given that he was almost a lock to go number one before these off the field issues there. But at number four with the Colts, I'm going to go CJ Stroud, man. You know, I believe in the reports that, you know, Ballard was blown away by Levis during the pre-draft process, during the interview process, combine, et cetera, et cetera. But we also know that the Colts ownership and front office, they like the big athletic quarterbacks who are accurate, who have a big arm. I know Stroud can possibly slip here, but I think that Anthony Richardson actually is a better candidate to slip in the draft. Similar to like the slip that we saw with Malik Willis last year. I think Richardson's a far more talented prospect, played at a much bigger school against better competition, but Stroud is an NFL ready quarterback. And at this point, Young's off the board, Levis is off the board. Colts take a franchise quarterback that they can start right away if they need to. Maybe they put him on the bench for half the season behind Minshew. We'll see how that goes. But I see them taking Stroud here. We've heard negative things about Stroud coming from other camps. I don't think I've heard anything negative coming out from the Colts camp about Stroud. So I'm going to go Stroud here at number four for the Colts.
So, I mean, the thing that impressed me the most about him was how accurate, like passing-wise, like you said, he could step in and play right away. He's going to put the ball there. It just, I know there's some questions about his like not willingness to run or whatever. And I'm like, you know, maybe that's a good thing for an NFL quarterback that he's looking, you know, he's a pass first guy. Yeah. He's not going to be a dual threat guy. Look at his numbers. He never broke, I don't think, 100 yards rushing for them even in a season. So he's, you know, like you said, he's somebody who can fit into a pro offense right away and knows to stay in the pocket and knows, you know, obviously how to throw to NFL wide receivers because he's playing with all NFL wide receivers already.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that some of the testing stuff is a little bit overblown. Maybe it's enough to bump him off the top two. I don't think it's enough to bump him out of the top five right now.
Can we also clarify real quickly? The S2 is what replaced the Wonderlic. Anybody's wondering, it's the new Wonderlic, I guess.
Yeah.
I am up. I got number five with Seattle right here. And I'm going to go with Jalen Carter, defensive lineman from Georgia, at number five overall. That's actually where I had him in my mock draft that I made a week ago. I to be the person that kind of steps outside of it, the off-the-field stuff is what drops him from the number one overall pick. Taking a clearer look at it, he's not getting charged with any felonies. That's what I would really stop me if I was an NFL team, because I'd be like, well, there could be a trial or there's a real possibility of going to prison, but it doesn't seem that way. And some of the stuff that's come out about him, about, you know, the way, or him not being ready for his pro day or whatever, it's like, I feel like watching him play. He's a really good player. And I know there's going to be some temptation here, and Seahawks fans will probably be mad they didn't take a quarterback, but they just, you know, they have a quarterback who's pretty decent. They made the playoffs, you know, with Geno, and Pete Carroll is not somebody that's going to want to, he's 73 years old. He's not going to want to take 3 or 4 years to develop a quarterback. In his mind, he's like, I need immediate help up front. I got a quarterback who can do the job. I have other good parts around him. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I like it. And there was a Peter Schrager, Daniel Jeremiah, probably the two most plugged-in guys in terms of insiders in the NFL. And they did a joint podcast like this last week, and they talked about that. And Schrager mentioned that he heard that the Seahawks could be likely to take Carter. Jeremiah, you know, some people deciphered that as Jeremiah saying that they weren't going to take Carter because of the whole thing that happened with Malik McDowell. I think this is a different situation here, that you can't just use that as like a one-off excuse for them not taking Carter. They brought Carter in their building. Reports are that Carroll was happy with the way things went there. In terms of like prospect evaluation and comparisons here, Jalen Carter's absolutely the best player on the board. They talked about building the defensive line after getting blown out in the playoffs last year in terms of defensively, where they couldn't make a stop in that wild card game. And that was a big reason for it. So, yeah, Tyree Wilson's obviously still on the board here. But if Jalen Carter, he's a superior prospect to Tyree Wilson. And I agree with that. I also have him going five. You actually look at the consensus right now, it's moved a ton. Tony, I was at the beach on Saturday. I saw a report come out on Twitter that numerous executives said they expected the Seahawks to take Jalen Carter number five, and we gave it out to our subscribers at 8-1. And now it's moved to almost an even money odds, where Carter is the favorite at DraftKings, FanDuel, and Caesars. There was some pushback on that from some sharp people that still like Carter's over 6.5. But as time has moved on, it feels like a year ago from now to this past Saturday, but he's now the consensus favorite to go number five. And I agree with that until we hear anything differently. And this is a tough one now, because at six, you know, the consensus is that the Lions were going to take Devin Witherspoon, number one cornerback in terms of playing press man coverage, tough, physical guy. But I don't know if they let Tyree Wilson slip past here at number six. We know that they're looking for another edge rusher to put opposite Aiden Hutchinson here. And I think that the defensive back class is very strong this year. It might be the strongest of all the position groups overall. I know people have talked about tight end being one of the stronger position groups as well. I think cornerback, you could see, you know, 10 instant day one starters in the first two rounds go, maybe even more in terms of the first three rounds. So I think they can wait for cornerback at number 18, get a guy like a Deontay Banks, Joey Porter, maybe even an Emmanuel Forbes, who's risen up boards recently as well. I think you take the most talented edge rusher here. Personally, I like Nolan Smith more. But I definitely agree with the traits, physical traits and tools that Tyree Wilson has here. So I'm going to go Tyree Wilson off the board, number six here to the Detroit Lions, which will leave you with the Raiders at seven.
I like what your head is there with Wilson. It's like you got Hutchinson. If you can secure the next decade of dominating the pass rush, you know, that could end up being like a Buffalo Bills, like a Cornelius Bennett and you know, Smith sort of deal in the future. That's a good pick. Yeah, I have number 7 with the Raiders. I don't see any way on earth if this guy drops here that they pass up Richardson from Florida, the quarterback. Ooh. I see the talent. Anthony Richardson, I think I almost watched every game he played in this year. He doesn't know quite yet when to throw and when to – that was the thing. Like, as the year went on, you could see him feeling that pressure a little more. And it was – he had such a hard time deciding when to run or when to throw. And to me, that wasn't really a knock on him because he's so young. It was a knock on just bad coaching. And, you know, I don't know that he's going to get good coaching with the Raiders, but I know that the Raiders will be too gassed up to pass him up right there, especially if you know, he's been – up as high as 4 at some times. And early in the process, some people were throwing him around at number 1. But I think maybe the film has fleshed that out a little bit, that maybe that's not there anymore.
I love that pick personally. A lot of people have moved away from the Raiders taking a quarterback at 7. But one of the most plugged-in insiders is Matt Miller from ESPN. His latest mock on April 23rd, actually from a few days ago, he had Richardson 7 out of the 14 mocks that we're tracking currently from the last week. He's the only one to have done that, even though there's a few from before that also had Richardson number 7. And then you throw in the fact about Josh McDaniels. He's the one that aggressively moved up to take Tim Tebow years back. We obviously know Richardson, you know, same school here, much more athletic prospect than Tebow was, maybe not as decorated in terms of awards, but Richardson here. I love it because you bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. And a lot of people say that you got to sit Richardson for a year. He looks like a prospect to me that he'd be better off sitting for 2 years. But we'll see how fast he develops. But why not let Jimmy Garoppolo play at least 1 year, year and a half? We don't know if he can hold up much longer than that. He might get hurt before that.
He's the backup. Garoppolo, he's going to play this year probably.
He's going to 100%. But how long does he even hold up? Because – you know, I could see him starting for 2 years, then in year 3, then moving to Richardson. But I agree, the talent's there, and you can make that coaching connection with McDaniels too.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, this is tough because this isn't how I had my mock draft go. I think even like with the 3-6 situation, like Will Anderson versus Tyree Wilson, I could definitely say like there's reports that Arizona might value Tyree Wilson more than Anderson. Those are interchangeable. So if Wilson would have went 3, I would have given the Lions Will Anderson at 6 too. And still would have went Carter at 5. But now that both those guys are off the board, we're at number 8 here with the Falcons. And man, like there's a lot of ways this can go. And we're not doing trades in this mock here. We're not going to muck things up too much. There's been strong connections to local edge rusher from Georgia, Nolan Smith, who I really like a lot. There's been rumors and rumblings about Bijan Robinson going here. There's also a pressing need for them for cornerback. I'm going to hold off on the cornerback thing, though, because like I said, the depth at corner is so good in this draft that I think it could actually push every cornerback down the board because teams say, let's get this premier position first, and we can still get a starting cornerback late round 1, round 2, round 3. We know Arthur Smith wants to run the hell out of the ball, just like he did with Derrick Henry back in Tennessee. I know a lot of mocks. This has almost become like more of a group think thing here. To me, it's got to be Bijan, man. Like Tyler Allgeier, he's a good goal line back, change of pace guy. Bijan's the best prospect left on this board, top to bottom. I understand the thing about not giving round one, you know, not drafting running backs round 1, but I think you also have to look at the fact that I think it's better to draft the running back round 1 and then let him walk in free agency, because then it's like he's got 5 years potentially under his belt of all this workload, and then you don't have to pay him again the second time. The most valuable time to have him is those first 5 years if he's as good of a prospect as Bijan Robinson is, who can do it all. So they took best player on the board with Kyle Pitts. They took best player on the board last year with Drake London. That offense is building. They want to give Ritter the tools to at least be competent in that offense under center this year. So I'll take, even though Witherspoon's still on the board, still got Paris Johnson there, still have Gonzalez, Garanci, etc., I'm gonna go Bijan Robinson number 8.
I love it. The total chaos. I want to say this about the Falcons. There's no team in this draft that I probably have more disdain for this year than the Falcons, because the deal with not okay having Desmond Ritter and looking people in the face, look your fans in the face and say that's your quarterback when you have a chance to go after Lamar Jackson. And that's my answer to it. If you ask me what my real answer was to most of this, would be just get Lamar Jackson. But they're the one that really blows me away because they have such a big fan base. It's indoors. He's in his prime. You have a Ritter's not going to be the guy. It just they're the one I have the same for. I actually love that pick. And I'm up next at number nine with the Bears. And I'm going to go with Peter Skoronski, the offensive tackle from Northwestern. You have to protect, do something to try and keep Justin Fields intact for a year. Skoronski is who I like there. I mean, I could see them going with, you know, Paris Johnson, like we talked about. But I really feel like they're going to have to go with an offensive tackle just because Fields showed this last year that he can play at an elite level, but he's got to, you know, be able to be upright and functioning to do so.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Paris Johnson's live there. I think the cornerbacks could be live there too, but I agree with the need that Skoronski is the most polished product. My only hesitation there from a personal opinion standpoint is that he's projecting as a guard in this league, and normally you don't draft a guard in the top 10 when there's tackles there, but the tackles aren't necessarily as strong as they've been in years past. So I definitely can see that happen. Absolutely. He's got some Chicago ties there too, coming from Northwestern there. So I don't mind that pick at all. Let's go to number 10 with the Eagles. Now this gets interesting here because, you know, we still have the two cornerbacks on the board. I've got both Gonzalez and Witherspoon in my top five overall prospects. But this isn't about what I think a team should do. It's about what I think they will do. And there's been very strong reports about the Eagles wanting to stick to the line in the first round. They have two first round picks. Maybe they trade back. That's what they've been known to do in years past. So even though we have Devin Witherspoon, even though we have Gonzalez, you know, they still had Bradbury and Slay, even though they're kind of playing on year-to-year contracts at this point. I'm going to go best lineman available on the board. And to me, that's tough. I could see Nolan Smith here, but I'm going to take Paris Johnson here at number 10. My first mock that I did over a month ago, I actually had them taking Broderick Jones when Paris Johnson, I had him mocked a little earlier at that point. I don't think Paris Johnson makes it out of the top 10. He's a legitimate left tackle prospect out of Ohio State. We've seen offensive linemen play well in the NFL from there. I think the talent is there. The Eagles want to build in the trenches, and they want to bolster that depth as much as possible. I think when you look at the D-line depth in this class versus the O-line depth, you're going to still have very, very high-quality edge rushers and defensive tackles at the end of the first, as opposed to having that be the case with offensive linemen. So give me Paris Johnson, number 10, and then we'll move on to the Titans here at 11.
I already hate myself after listening to you give your Paris Johnson argument. I already hate myself for taking Skoronski, by the way. So thanks a lot for that. See, I got the – what do I have here? The Titans.
Man, those are interchangeable, man. I wouldn't be surprised still to see Skoronski 09. I could see 9 and 10, either one going there for sure.
It's just hearing you say it is like, oh, that's such a
I've great – hey, I've got Skoronski 19th in my mock right now, and I'm probably going to move him up. But if we're basing the fact on tackle is a premium position, then Broderick Jones, Darnell Wright, Paris Johnson are all legitimate starting tackles in the league. Skoronski's a guard. I don't think Skoronski's going to fall that far. I got to figure out a way how I'm going to change that. But that's currently where I have him going to Tampa Bay at 19. But I could see him going as high, honestly, as number 7 to the Raiders. So big outcome range for him right there.
So I've got the Titans next. They need some help in so many places. I like Jackson Smith Najiba. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. I'm not totally correct. The wide receiver from Ohio State. I just, you know, get some off.
JSN.
Just call JSN. Him JSN. Everybody calls him JSN. I'd like to know how to pronounce his name, actually.
In Jigba.
Okay, I got pretty close.
You were there. Yeah, you were right there.
I really like. I mean, watching him play with Stroud, he's a big play downfield wide receiver. It seemed like also one thing I liked was that, him in 2021 is what I saw. I know the injury he had is something he can come back from and really be dynamic. And, you know, all I think about Ohio State wide receivers is next year with obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. I think next year is the year he can go in the draft. But watching him play, just I feel like he's a good plug-and-play guy. These receivers have shown they can step in and make plays, and he'll be healthy. He's had a lot of time off, so.
Yeah, no, yeah, 100%. I can see that there because they're trying to field trade offers for Tannehill and Derrick Henry right now, which to me is kind of hilarious. That why would a team trade for two old players like that when the probably the asking price is way too high? I don't think a single team is going to make an offer for Tannehill or Henry. I think you got to kind of stick with them at this point. The only way you'd get rid of Tannehill is if a quarterback slipped here, but we've got those quarterbacks going all in the top seven. So now we're back to the Texans at 12, and this is where, you know, you want to make the new coach happy here as a defensive-minded head coach. And to me, when you look at the guys on the board here, you know, we've still got the cornerbacks with the Texans, but they did draft Derek Stingley as one of their top five picks in the draft last year. I'm going to go with the best edge rusher available. And it's close. I think Nolan Smith is up there. Lucas Van Ness as well is live here. Maybe even a dark horse candidate in Miles Murphy. But since I have Nolan Smith just a little bit higher, I'm going to go Nolan Smith. He's risen up draft boards over the last month or so, done great in interviews, played at a premier college in the SEC, all the talent in the world. I think he could wind up being the best edge rusher in 5 years out of this class. I think that's definitely within the realm of possibilities here. So give me Nolan Smith at 12 to the Texans. They solved their needs with Will Levis at 2 at quarterback, solved their need with the edge rusher, premier edge rusher at 12 with Nolan Smith.
That's such a great pick. And we all know he's what is it, a bicep or a pec injury?
Pec, yeah.
Yeah, he's one injury away from, I mean, that injury really dropped him. He was a consensus top five guy up until that. And to me, that's a injury that's pretty not easy to come back from, but so many players have been able to come back from that and really be successful. It's surprising to see him drop on all the boards like he has. Do you have any idea why that happened?
It's possible because he didn't play that many games this year. And then you see the hype on both Will Anderson and Tyree Wilson, especially move up. And I could see Nolan Smith going as high as number 8 or 9. There's obviously the connection there where he's said to the media that the Falcons are trying really hard to bring him in as a local product. So I could see that as well. About a week ago, I bet the under on his 12.5. So this is right in that range there. I think it go a little bit higher. I'd be surprised to see. I've seen some mocks like have him in like the late teens to like 20 range. And I saw Daniel Jeremiah basically said there's no chance in hell, basically, that Nolan Smith falls that far. So maybe the floor for him would be like a pick 15. But I think the talent wins out. And the interview process and everything else, he's rising up boards here. So number 13, now we're going to have the Packers here. They had the pick swap with the Jets with the Aaron Rodgers trade. So Packers now at 13, Jets at 15, Patriots still in between at 14. Who you got for number 13, Tony?
And this has been the quickest I've ever jumped to a pick. Is there is little doubt in my mind that the Green Bay Packers are gonna pick a wide receiver. I'm going to go with Zay Flowers from Boston College because there will be nothing more just stinging for the Packers because they can't really do much to Aaron Rodgers now. Just to pick a wide receiver in the first round as soon as he's gone would be just such a middle finger to him that it's almost too obvious. And Zay Flowers, as we talked about a little bit before we started the stream, is somebody's picked up a lot of steam in the last week. I didn't have him much further down from this anyways. So I'm going with him.
I like that. Like the FU to Rodgers. And I've got them going with Jackson Smith and Jigba, but I do also believe there's a chance that he doesn't make it there. You have him with the Titans at 11. I've heard rumors of the Eagles having big interest in him. He has links to both Chicago and Atlanta as well. So don't be surprised to see him go even earlier in the top 10, even though I still think that other receivers are live to go first off the board before him. Big range of outcomes for Smith and Jigba all the way from like, you know, top 10 to maybe even in the 20s there. But I like the pick with Flowers. He's had a lot of hype recently, and you got to give the help to Jordan Love in his first year as a starter. Now it's crazy. We pushed the top two corners down this far.
They gotta go. You gotta go one of them here.
Slip any further. I've heard recently through some trusted insiders on different podcasts and articles that they really like the press man coverage that Devin Witherspoon can bring, which is why I think he's live to go number seven to the Raiders as well. Because you have similar connections there in the coaching staff with McDaniels when his former ties to the Patriots. So Patriots, to me, grabbed their cornerback of the future after they lost some guys these past couple years. Devin Witherspoon, number 14, that's an easy pick for me.
Love it. Known him since he was a junior in high school. We actually, when I was working at the Pensacola News Journal, you'll like this. We made him our, in 2018, he was our area for the Panhandle Defensive Player of the Year. And our defensive backfield was he played along Martin Emerson, who was a second round pick, I think 2 years ago for the Browns. And it's like, man, the idea of those two guys in a high school defensive backfield, it was just, they killed people. It was amazing to watch.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's crazy, man. And like you said, you know, I think a lot of people in the process were enamored with Gonzalez when we talked about this before we went live here.
Yeah.
But Witherspoon, you know, he didn't play at a successful enough college, maybe as high profile as Oregon. But you look at the tape and you just can't deny the guy's talent. And a lot of teams say this is pretty much the most physical cornerback in this class by a mile. And I think that's really what separates him. If I was going on history – in terms of draft, I think GMs historically have taken cornerbacks first off the board in terms of their physical traits, their combine measurables. But Witherspoon was injured when the combine happened. He had his pro day and ran very well on the 40, which I think is enough to appease those concerns that he might not have been as athletic or as close to being as athletic as Gonzalez was. So I think at this point, if you can still bet Witherspoon, first cornerback at minus 200. I still think that's a valid bet that I actually made myself yesterday.
Hey, it's a really great bet. I mean, I'm surprised that you could still even get that.
Yeah. So who you got at 15 with the Jets? I've seen them go a lot of different ways. There's been talk of offensive line. That's the heavy favorite right now in the market, Tony. I've heard also Daniel Jeremiah, who's pretty plugged into the Jets as well, say defensive line is in play here. I've heard some dark horse rumblings that even wide receiver could be in play here to give a partner there to Garrett Wilson since they just recently got rid of Elijah Moore as well. So you got a 15.
Yeah, I got an even bigger twist for you. I think that they're so dead set on making Aaron Rodgers happy and getting him offensive weapons. The one to me that's obvious because he's really good with tight ends. I know this probably be a surprise. I'm going to go with Michael Mayer, the tight end from Notre Dame. You know, it's a kind of if you're tight ends in college football history, this last year with Bowers at Georgia and Mayer at Notre Dame, you're seeing two of the best I've seen in the last 20 or 30 years. So I'm going to go with Mayer from Notre Dame at tight end, who is somebody that can step in and looks to me like an NFL tight end already. And that is somebody that Aaron Rodgers, I think, would really, really going to enjoy throwing the ball to if that were to happen.
I love that pick. I haven't seen that anywhere. And their top tight end last season, if I'm not mistaken, was C.J. Uzomah. I'm a lifelong Cincinnati Bengals fan over here. And we had C.J. Uzomah a couple years ago. He's a halfway decent blocker. I don't know if he's much past that. The other guys on their depth chart are Tyler Conklin and Jeremy Ruckert. So I really do. The way this mock draft has played out so far, I really like that. I would even say Dalton Kincaid is in play here. I think he's the best pure pass catcher, maybe even in this entire class in terms of wide receivers and tight ends, but definitely tight end. But then you look at the fact that the Jets want more run blocking help or just pass blocking help in general. Mayer is a very polished blocker too. And giving Aaron Rodgers a guy who can help both in protection and as a legitimate weapon in the passing game, you can bet, Mike, I just checked, right when you said that, Tony, I checked my phone, you can bet team to draft Michael Mayer, Jets, at 60-1 right now. I might have to sprinkle a little bit on that myself, man. I really like that one. You can even, actually, the best bet you want to make in that case, because maybe they go with Kincaid here, which could be a possibility, Jets to draft the tight end first at 50-1 on FanDuel.
I love what you said about the blocking. Well, Reese, you think too. My mind's on the running backs and the blocking game. they're going to have Breece Hall back, who could be a guy who can change games for them. Like, you want a little more run blocking too. So
I love it, man. I love that pick. I'm going to have to bet that actually right now. So if you see me getting distracted here, that's what I'm doing. But Christian Gonzalez, man, I have him 1A, 1B with Witherspoon. I really like Gonzalez's tape a lot coming out of Oregon. He blew away the combine. If Anthony Richardson was like the number one star at the combine this past year, Gonzalez is number two. And I don't think he can slip past here. I actually was playing with this in my mock. This is actually where I had him in the mock draft I put together yesterday, was Gonzalez. We know the Commanders, there's been talk about them drafting D-line here. And actually, I made a bet earlier today when the news came out they are not exercising the fifth-year option for Chase Young, star edge rusher there. However, if Gonzalez is still here, they need cornerback badly. I could see them going Brian Branch. I could see them going Joey Porter, Deontay Banks as live options, even with them not exercising Young's fifth-year option. But in this case, Gonzalez, clear best prospect still on the board. I'm going to go Washington Gonzalez at pick 16.
Good pick. I wonder if Branch is more of a – I can play at that more of a safety. But, man, that's such a – if Gonzalez drops there, that's such a great pick for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, they've got – like basically teams are saying, like, Branch – nickel corner, can play some corner, can play some safety. I've seen different sites have him listed in different ways. I've got him listed on our consensus mock sheet here as both a cornerback and a safety, just to make that distinction. But his measurables at the combine, his testing wasn't very good. So we've seen him slip a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised to see Branch go early round two, but I could also see him going as high as here to 16. My guess is he probably maybe go somewhere in like the mid to late 20s. But yeah, Gonzalez is to me, like you, that's a great pick. I agree with you for the Commanders there.
Okay. So I'm next at 17 with the Steelers. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. So this is one where I feel like they go a lot of different ways. Like I know they like the inclination, my first gut instinct is say, hey, pick Jordan Addison. You know the chemistry's there with Kenny Pickett, who I think is pretty good. I think, but to me it's go Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle from Georgia, because whatever emotional thing Kenny Pickett is telling their management, I'd be great with Addison. The real goal is to keep the quarterback alive, upright, and so not a real exciting pick, not really flashy. I'm going to go with Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle from Georgia.
I like that pick. So there's been rumors that the Steelers have entertained offers of trading up for an offensive tackle. And if Broderick Jones falls here, I think he actually could be the best left tackle in this class, even better than Paris Johnson. He's a little more raw on tape, hasn't had as many starts under his belt, but played very well at Georgia this past season at left tackle. I could see his range being top 7, 8, 9 picks to all the way down here as well. I think cornerbacks in play here. I love the points you brought up on Addison. I never even thought about that at all. And yeah, you could say that they brought in Allen Robinson, but I don't think that's enough to say, oh, we're set at receiver because we brought in an aging Allen Robinson who might be way past his prime at this point. You have Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, but those guys aren't really proven elite receivers either. And yeah. Daniel Jeremiah, one of the best in the business, has Addison as his number one ranked receiver on his big board as well. But Broderick Jones, elite tackle prospect here. I could see a Darnell Wright, but if Broderick Jones and Darnell Wright are both on the board together, I'd be surprised if a team took Wright over Jones as like a future tackle, franchise tackle, so to speak here. So I like that pick there. Now, going into the next couple picks here at 18, we got the Lions again. I was trying to think of who was picking there. Lions. So we got them taking Tyree Wilson edge with the first pick. They still need defensive back help a lot here. I could see them going tight end. I think Dalton Kincaid's in play, although I think that Mayer seems more of a personality fit. If you didn't have him going to the Jets at 15, I probably would have taken Mayer here. I had Mayer in my mock draft from yesterday at 18 of the Lions there, so close pick for me. I'm going to go with a cornerback. And, you know, earlier in the process, we saw a lot of mock drafts having Porter, Joey Porter Jr. as the clear third defensive back in this class. I'm actually going to go with Deontay Banks of Maryland here. He's risen up a lot of boards as of late. You know, played in the Big Ten, had some really good performances on tape. You know, I think that he's going to be – I wish I could bet this. I wish I could – you can bet, like, second cornerback to be drafted, but you can't bet third to be drafted. And if you could, I would bet Banks here. I'm going to give you a little interesting note. When I was updating our mock consensus sheet earlier today, Tony, I was going and putting in Albert Breer's latest mock draft from Sports Illustrated, and he had a note in here about Banks being possibly live to the Steelers, actually, at pick 17, was that Mike Tomlin's son, whose name is Dino, by the way, he was a member of Deontay Banks' recruiting class at Maryland. And we know cornerback is one of Pittsburgh's top needs. Obviously, offensive line is as well. And we know Banks' stocks has risen. Do they go with the homegrown talent of Joey Porter Jr.? Do they go with Banks with that connection? Do they go with offensive line like you had him? I think that's all interesting there. But to me, what I took out of that is that Banks, I'd be really surprised at this point to see him slip past the top 20. So I really like Banks under 20.5 draft position bet because I could see him being live at 16 of the Commanders if Gonzalez doesn't fall that far. And I could see him in play at 17, in play at 18 here, maybe even in play at 19 or 20 with Tampa Bay or Seattle. So give me Deontay Banks, third cornerback off the board to the Lions at 18.
A true freak. Let me give you some combine numbers for Deontay Banks. 4.35 second 40-yard dash, 42-inch vertical leap, 11'4" broad jump. He's 6'2", 205 pounds. That's somebody seems ready to play in the NFL.
Absolutely. You actually look at the RAS scores, the athletic scores here that we have on our sheet, and you look at the highest you can score is a 10 out of 10. And there's only so far out of the guys we tracked, there's three players who scored a perfect 10 out of 10. Anthony Richards is one. Deontay Banks is number two out of the three. So athletic freak, 100%. I agree. I could see him go even higher than this. I really like that. If the Lions come out of this defensively with Tyree Wilson and Deontay Banks going into this next season, they're already favorites to win their division. I think they're the runaway favorites after this year.
Yeah, it's a great pick. I am up next at number 19 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you are a Buccaneers fan, the next few years of your life are not going to be the greatest. You know, I'm glad you won a Super Bowl recently, but it's going to be tough going forward. That being said, I will go with Lucas Van Ness, the defensive end out of Iowa right here. Another athletic marvel. So strange that he didn't start for them, but was an All-American. All Big Ten. I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of questions about Iowa football in general and how they run the program, but this is the guy you put in there, and he could be a defensive end for you for 10 years, could be a Pro Bowler. And I guess, like with Hutchinson last year, it's who he really compares to. And there's a premium, always going to be a premium on pass rushers.
100%. I think that he could be live if the Lions don't go edge or defensive tackle at pick six. I can see them going with the previous pick at 18. I think Lucas Van Ness is live all the way down to like pick 8 or 9 with Atlanta and Chicago. But there's just so much different opinion in terms of these guys. Once you get to like prospect number 5 to prospect number 25, there's a lot of, you know, wide range of outcomes here for that for sure. But I like that pick a lot for Tampa Bay. It seems like a good fit there personality wise, trait wise. I heard the reason why he didn't start, I guess, is because they had some fifth-year senior or something like that there. But he basically came in the second play every game, so to speak. So no knocking him for that there. So now at pick 20 with Seattle, and we had Seattle go in defensive tackle here at pick number 5 with Jalen Carter. This one's tough, man. I could see this going a lot of different ways. We have like a consensus team need sheet that I put together. I'm going to put on update on our website at bettingpredators.com, where there's a lot of needs on the board. I could see them going wide receiver here. I could see cornerback. I can see edge rusher. to pair with Jalen Carter on the line. They talked a lot about after that playoff loss about improving the defensive line and that really being the only main difference between them and San Francisco. I'm going to go with the top edge rusher on the board. Now, this one's tough because I really do like – and I think I had him on my mock yesterday here. I just want to double-check this real quick. Yeah, okay. I'm gonna go Will McDonald out of Iowa State. There's been a lot of buzz on him recently, and my other pick was either going to be him or Miles Murphy. I've heard some skepticism about Murray and like the Bob McGinn had this great draft series. We had anonymous reporting from all these different scouts and executives basically saying like they're scared of the Clemson edge rusher curse, et cetera, et cetera. But I think Will McDonald might just be a better prospect overall than Miles Murphy. Great RAS, relative athletic score, 9.67 out of 10. I've seen his name rise up and up and up. He's like minus 900 to go in the first round right now. I think this is where his range really starts, is like that 18, 19 all the way to the back end. So I could see Miles Murphy here. I think Seattle's just 100%. If they're not taking a quarterback in the first five picks, they take Jalen Carter, they're going to go edge. If they take edge at number six or number five, then I can see them going D tackle here at 20, maybe in the form of like a Kalijah Kancey or Brian Brisset from Clemson. But for now, I'm going to go edge rusher Will McDonald here at 20.
Yeah, that's one that's really come up in the last week. You know, a month ago, he wasn't on a lot of draft boards as a first-round pick. You're starting to see him now. So outside the box thinking, I love it. I am up next at number 21 with the Los Angeles Chargers. And safety blanket for my man. Hopefully they can get a new coach soon, but I'll go with Dalton Kincaid, the tight end from Utah. You know, the Chargers have good wide receivers. They can stretch the field out.
Yeah.
They don't always use Justin Herbert right, but to me it's like the tight end at his best is a safety blanket for the quarterback. Herbert doesn't have that yet. To me, that is really a couple West Coast guys just pitching the rock in front of, you know, 20,000 people at home games. I can't wait to watch it.
The more I saw Kincaid on tape, I just love his game. As a Bengals fan here, like I hope I'm like crossing my fingers he slips to pick 28 for Cincinnati. There's been some talks about teams not trusting his health and there's some injury concerns there, but I think that might be a little overblown. I could see him going as high as like the mid-teens to like Green Bay or the Jets. Or slip into the back end. I don't think he slips out of the first round at all. I like that pick. You know, they do have Gerald Everett there. They got a couple of decent, you know, backup tight ends there with some size, like Trey McKitty, Donald Parham, et cetera. But Kincaid's on another level in terms of a prospect at tight end. Perfect pass catcher to pair there for the future with Justin Herbert. We don't know what's going to happen with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams after this coming year. We know they like Josh Palmer there, though, as that third receiver as well. I could see them going Addison here. There's like a tie. I think it's like the wide receiver coach for the Chargers coached Addison in college or was on the staff. I don't know the exact – I've heard that quite a bit over the last couple of weeks here. So I think Addison's in play too, but I do like the pick for tight end to the Chargers as well here. So we're going to move on to pick 22, Baltimore Ravens. A lot of people are just defaulting to defense here. At this point, I've heard a lot of reports that Baltimore wants playmakers on offense. They want to convince Lamar Jackson. Maybe it's even low-key negotiating tactic. Be like, hey, Lamar, like we hooked you up with a couple first-round picks. We signed OBJ. Give us a break on this contract here next year. So I think that they go offense here. And you talk about the best prospects left on the board. You've got Quentin Johnston and you have Jordan Addison. And when you look at the overall team needs here, you know, they have Rashad Bateman. They brought in OBJ, who I don't really think matters much in terms of who you're going to draft. I could see them go cornerback here for sure. I could see them go edge rusher with a guy like Miles Murphy. But, man, I think you saw Devontae Smith came in, a lot of concerns. Is he too skinny? Is he too frail to succeed as a wide receiver at the NFL level? Same concerns about Addison. Addison's like he has that – small build, but he's not a slot guy. He can play all over the field. Bateman maybe profiles more as a slot receiver for last year for the Ravens, and I think Zay Flowers even as well. You had him going earlier. I think he's a candidate here if he's still available on the board. I'm going to go Jordan Addison, best rated receiver left on the board, can step in and play right away, add a weapon for Lamar Jackson. I would not be surprised either to see them maybe even like dark horse candidate to trade down a couple picks and take a running back, maybe even in the form of a Jahmyr Gibbs from Alabama. But for now, I'm going to stick Jordan Addison 22 to the Ravens.
Yeah, you make a great point about him. It's like he's just underneath that. He's a little light. You know what I mean? But he can play all the – he can play in the slot. He can play outside. He can do so much. And he wasn't hurt to the point in college where – I mean, he did come back a few times. But I really like that. And as far as trying to entice Lamar Jackson back, you know, signing two really good wide receivers, that could be a huge thing. I don't think he's going to cut him any slack on the cash. But
right.
I'm up next at number 23 with the Minnesota Vikings. And – we have Joey Porter Jr. still on the board. I feel like, you know, good cornerback. Obviously, somebody that was rated as the third cornerback, I feel like, behind Gonzalez and Witherspoon. We obviously – Banks went off the Porter Jr. to me is somebody who, you know, really did well at the combine, ran a 4.440. He always played in cold weather climates too. So I feel like, you know, getting to play indoors is really going to help him. You know, he plays high school football in Pennsylvania, then also plays for Penn State. So to me, that's their guy right there. And they need cornerbacks.
I like that pick a lot for sure. They definitely need cornerbacks, and he's a great talent on the board in terms of where people had him going earlier in the process and like that mid-teens range here. This next pick is tough. Jacksonville at 24, you know, promising team on the rise here. They have their running back, they have their quarterback, they drafted Trevon Walker on the edge here last year at number one pick. So I think that looking at this class, I could see them going inside defensive tackle. I could see them going cornerback. They struggled a little bit there last year. There's been some talks about them even thinking about a safety or a tight end here, even though they signed Evan Engram again, or even as an offensive line. So this is one of the tougher ones. A lot of mock drafts have Brian Branch going here to play nickel corner and safety. We also have Darnell Wright, who slipped a lot. Like, his range could be all the way up to number 9 with the Bears, to maybe even being like slipping it to the very, very end of the first round here. So looking at the guys, like the best available in terms of our consensus mock ADPs, I'm just going to scroll through this here. Best available prospects based on current mock drafts would be Darnell Wright, Miles Murphy, edge rusher from Clemson, Brian Branch. These are tough, man. You know, I'm going to switch it up. They went edge rusher with Kancey. Their defensive line is very strong. They do need some cornerback help. I think a better cornerback prospect, if you really want to go that route, a lot of buzz recently. I think the Giants would love him at 25. I'm going to put him here. Led college football, led the entire nation in pick sixes last year. Emmanuel Forbes, 167 pounds soaking wet from Mississippi State. I really like him as a prospect. Again, as a Bengals fan, I hope he falls to 28. I would love them to add him to the secondary. I'm going to go Jacksonville here with Emmanuel Forbes at 25 or 24, excuse me.
That's another. I love that, thinking outside the box. As far as a defensive back too, like we say with wide receivers, we're kind of harping on, you know, Addison for being too light. I don't know that that's such a problem with defensive backs as far as when you're in that range, it's not going to be as much of an issue, I don't think.
I really wanted to go either Kalijah Kancey or Brian Brisset here too at defensive tackle, but I think that the need is a little bit stronger at cornerback for them right now than defensive line.
So you had Jacksonville, Forbes at cornerback, and I'm next up with the Giants, number 25. The Giants have the 25th pick, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brian Branch, the safety, maybe also a cornerback, can play corner or safety from what I saw watching him play. You know, starts as a freshman at Alabama, toward the end of the year, starts 3 games, and then starts 28 straight games to close out his career over the next 2.5 years. I think he can start right away. I think he's a safe pick. I think did his 40-yard time that was getting in the, closer to like a 4.6, like mid 4.5, maybe scared people off a little bit. But that always is so confusing to me. If you've been around football and watch those guys run, a 4.5 or a 4.6 is still cooking and, you know, getting warmed up. Game speed is a totally different thing. In that range of, you know, I start to get worried if it's like a high 4.6 or a 4.7. You're probably going to have some problems, but – to me, he's the guy right there, and I think he fit in really well on a team that's really on its way up.
Yeah, I like that pick as well. There's been a lot of strong reports about them going cornerback or receiver. I think those are the two positions in play. Maybe a dark horse would be offensive line, but I like that pick as well. Best cornerback available on the board for sure there. Dallas Cowboys at 26, man. This one's tough because I think that if either Mayer or Kincaid were on the board, they'd want to draft their tight end of the future to pair with Dak Prescott and that offense. I think running backs in play here with Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, Pollard's coming off an injury and they're not, you know, Zeke's past his prime. They're not going to bring him back, et cetera, et cetera. I think they would love Bijan Robinson to slip here. I don't think that's going to happen. I do also think offensive line is in play here. But, you know, I don't know, man. It's just Jerry Jones isn't gonna do what you think they should do. He's not gonna do what probably most executives are gonna do either. So as tempting as it is to put Darnold right there, you know, Miles Murphy, Kalijah Kansi, even a Quentin Johnson to pair with CeeDee Lamb, all in play for me. There's been a lot of reports that Gibbs is gonna be a first round pick and the over 1.5 running backs in the first round was steamed up a lot in the last couple days. I'm going to go Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama, to the Cowboys. Modern-day running back in a modern-day offense. Most explosive talent offensively still left on the board to this point. Can contribute both in the passing game and the running game. I think he'd be a perfect complement to a healthy Tony Pollard as well. So give me Gibbs from Alabama, 26 to Dallas.
And no team in the NFL draft will be, you know, Gibbs, if he goes there, just know that every time Jerry Jones looks at you, he'll wish that you were Bijan Robinson. So I'm next up. I got Buffalo Bills at pick. I don't want to go another decade where a undersized Pittsburgh defensive lineman gets slept on to the point of nobody. They surprise everybody. I want to go with Kalijah Kansi, defensive tackle from
Pitt. Love that one.
As a former 6 foot, 6 foot one defensive lineman in college myself, I love the way they play. I really enjoy watching this guy play. I think like put him in there, he's gonna make some plays right away. The guy can go.
Yeah, I love it, and he's one of my top three guys. I hope falls to 28 for my Bengals here too, because they're looking for some interior pass rush help there in Cincinnati, but. Yeah, I love the pick. I think he could go way higher. I think he's in play to go 18 all the way to the Detroit Lions there with their second pick. I've heard some reports on that too, where they could even go edge rusher 6 and then defensive tackle at 18. And that would either be Kalijah Kansi or Brian Bosse. So I like that one a lot there. And they're, Buffalo's entire defensive line is going to hit free agency next year too. So they need to prepare for the future no matter how many guys they're deciding to bring back here. Now we're at my Bengals, man. 28. I didn't even think about this, that I'd be drafting.
Is this why you wanted to go second? This is why you wanted to even pick.
Subconsciously, yeah. Yeah, I've been sipping out of my Bengals mug here for the entire show. So got 6 cups of coffee in this bad boy here, man. Man, this one's, I don't know if Darnell Wright's going to slip this far at offensive tackle, but if he does, I almost think he has to be the pick. I think it's him or Brissé. Man, I don't know. Like how high he's rated as a prospect. So let's look real quick at our big board consensus average. I'm going to sort this column here, A to Z. He's going to go 1 on down. And we'll see where the holes are in our current mock. So the top 2 rated players right now in terms of our big board consensus rank averages are Miles Murphy, who's ranked 19.4. Then we have Darnell Wright at 20.9. Our third highest rated left on the board is Quentin Johnston. Bengals aren't taking a receiver first round. Then Brian Bosse at 34.9. Darnell Washington, Osiris Torrance, both probably still in play here at this point. So there's a lot of good, talented guys still left on the board. I'm going to go Darnell Wright because there's been talks of him potentially being the best offensive lineman in this class. You look at the tape, a lot of people talk about this as well, that when Tennessee played Alabama, Will Anderson was reduced to nothing. That's how well Darnell Wright was able to block him. The Bengals signed their left tackle of the future in Orlando Brown from Kansas City. Now they draft their right tackle of the future. You pair them with the signings you made last offseason, bringing in Alex Kappa from Tampa Bay, who's going to be healthy to start the year at guard. Then you still have Ted Karras, who you signed from New England, at center. You start to really invest in that offensive line a lot. So I'm going to go Darnell Wright, projected as a right tackle, perfect fit for Cincinnati.
Such a good pick. And if you're not just being a Bengals fan, if you're a football fan, if you're just a fan of the NFL, when you see them get to that pick and know he's there, really the only conscionable thing to do is pick an offensive tackle. You have a quarterback who maybe for the first time in NFL history, like every, you know, were it to open up, every other team would want him except for the Chiefs. You have to figure out ways to protect him. You've got him weapons, people to throw to, people to hand the ball off to. It's such a good pick and such a smart pick right there. I am up next with the New Orleans Saints have the 29th pick. Is that correct? Yeah, you know, dropped like a rock. They need everything. The Saints need everything. Another team that I just can't, you know, truly express my disgust with jumping the gun to get Carr at quarterback when Lamar Jackson would have been someone that they would have built statues to before he played a game in New Orleans. But I'll go with Miles Murphy here, defensive end from Clemson. I've seen him quite a bit higher on most picks, and he's board, the last – he's our highest consensus ADP guy, I believe, left in our mock draft there.
Yep. That's right, yeah, for sure. No, I like that pick a lot. I was going to have to strongly consider him here at 30 with the Eagles if you were going to put him 20. And there's a lot of reports even before a lot of this draft buzz and hype started over this last month that they were going to go defensive line no matter what. One of the lowest pressure rates in the league last year. They need help at edge rusher. They need help at defensive tackle. So that leaves us with two picks left. We got the Eagles at 30. We got the Chiefs at 31. In terms of consensus mock ADP, where are the other top industry mock drafters are putting these guys? Highest on the board right now is Quentin Johnston. I don't see him going to Philly here at 30. Then we have Anton Harrison, who I think is going to be a first-round pick. We have them taking Paris Johnson just for this mock. I don't think they go back-to-back offensive linemen. I think they go defensive line here. I think they leave the if they keep two picks in the first round, I think they split between defensive line and offensive line. So we look at the top-rated guys left on the board. Defensive tackle, Brian Brisset from Clemson. We've mentioned his name quite a bit here. I think he's very wide range of outcomes. Again, probably one of the widest in the entire first round, second round in terms of prospects there. Mozzie Smith from Michigan, a guy I like a lot. Big size athletic freak. I really like him there as well. I think Keon White, edge rusher from Georgia Tech, he's actually going to be in the green room. Doesn't mean he has to go first round, nice. But I think he's also live here as well. Two other dark horse candidates, and let me get your thoughts on one of these guys too, because you have a little more familiarity with the Big 12 than I do. But first is Ade Tamiwa Adebawore. I hope I said that right, from Northwestern. He's been a dark horse late first round candidate, tested awesome at the combine. But the one I wanted to ask you about, Tony, is Felix Anaduke Uzoma, edge rusher from Kansas State, because I also believe he's in play here as a late first round defensive line talent. I could see the Eagles going with any of these guys. I got them all grouped closely together on our big board top 200 at bettingpredators.com. What are your thoughts on Uzoma, and do you think he's a candidate to go first round?
I think
round
first
here?
Round's a little high, but I mean, watching them play toward the end of the year, they were playing as good you know, as anybody in the country at the end of the year, they were incredibly competitive. And a big reason for that was because of him and how well he played. And, you know, I really was impressed with him through the end of the year. There, Kansas State was not working with a whole lot as far as talent or whatever, but they were still winning games and still, you know, making, you know, made a run. So, and obviously beat TCU in the Big 12 championship game. So there, he can really play. I mean, I that's a good pick. I'm not trying to talk you out of or into anything for what I want to do with my last pick, but you have to, what are you going to go with?
He would be my third option out of the three. I would have Bursay and Smith there first. It's tough between those two guys. I think the Athletic comes out with this column before every college football season of, like, the freaks list. And I believe those guys were one and two back-to-back in terms of athletic freaks. Was Mozzie Smith was number one for Michigan. Brian Bursay, number two. Now, Bursay missed quite a few games this past season, I believe, with some injuries. But I think coming out of high school, he was like the number one rated defensive line prospect in the country. And maybe that's enough for the Eagles to be like, you know what? We've got some older guys on the D-line. We need to keep replenishing that with some upside and talent. So I'm going to go Bursay here. Even though I think he could slip out of the first round, I think he's live to go even early 20s, maybe even late teens here. So I'll go Bursay. Eagles get a great talent on the defensive line.
I think that's a good pick. He's to me, Bursay is one of the more curious prospects in the whole draft because, like you said, coming out of 2020, he's looking like he's going to be, a maybe possible number one overall pick in a few years. Obviously, deals with the pandemic for the first 2 years of his career. Everything's kind of touch and go. And this last year was hurt a little bit, but had a pretty awful family tragedy where his younger sister died. Had to miss two games because of that too. So I think he could be a really good player, but we don't know because he wasn't on the field that much there. So good pick. I've got the last pick of the first round. Never have felt more confident with a pick in my life in a mock draft, fake mock draft. Kansas City Chiefs. Give me Quentin Johnson, wide receiver, TCU. They need a boundary wide receiver. And this is kind of an amazing thing that happens with the Chiefs. I don't know if people know this. Patrick Mahomes is a very good quarterback. And whoever you put with him is going to end up doing really well. He's taking guys that are lower round picks and instilling this confidence in them that you know, they can play and win Super Bowls and win championships. And it's like, man, give him a weapon like that. And it's kind of scary to think that what could happen. As long as the kid's head is on straight, you have – somebody that's going to make sure that you thrive. So if he were to fall there, I think that the Chiefs would be pretty happy to swoop him up.
I love that. They signed a lot of slot receivers in the offseason. They brought in Richie James. They let Juju go, which I think was the right call. They have like the gadgety guy in Sky Moore that they took last year as a top two round pick. He didn't really have a good rookie season, but we have as one of their biggest needs on our consensus team needs list is wide receiver, but specifically a boundary wide receiver. And out of all the first round talents here, Quentin Johnson is the only big bodied, physical, traditional X receiver you can put on the outside. You know, pair him with Patrick Mahomes, like you said, I think that could be a great fit. And you know, a lot of people have them go in defensive line, offensive line. I think of a talent like Quentin Johnson falls there. I think they're also a candidate to trade up a couple spots to take a receiver. Maybe it's for Johnson. Maybe it's for Flowers. Maybe it's for Addison, depending on who falls or who's in range there and what the asking price is. But I do like that pick a lot. So I want to just focus real quick before we get into our best bet, boldest prediction to close this out. I want to look here at our consensus ADPs. Who are the guys who are right now consensus to go round one who we didn't pick? And there's three guys. Anton Harrison, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. I've seen people mock him as high as 17 to Pittsburgh. We have Osiris Torrance, maybe one of the best run blockers in the draft from Florida, even though there's quite a few mocks who don't have him in the first round. I'm skeptical another guard outside of Skoronski makes it into the first round, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it. Hendon Hooker, a lot of people talk about teams taking him in the first round because of the fifth-year option and him having to miss a year with the torn ACL. So, you know, how that happens, we're not sure because that's probably, I would say, likely through a trade back or a second-round trade up to the first, and we're not doing trades in this mock. So those are the three guys that we didn't put that are on our consensus mocks. And in terms of big board rank, top prospects overall going in – to the second round, surprisingly, we actually took the top 30 prospects, Tony, on our consensus big board. They're all gone in terms of top 31 from top to bottom. The next two highest prospects would be Darnell Washington, tight end from Georgia, and Osiris Torrance again, followed by Keon White, edge rusher from Georgia Tech, then Drew Sanders, linebacker from Arkansas. So looking at that, especially that we matched up the top 31 prospects on the big board here, and we're using big boards from all across the industry, different opinions. I've got some different opinions on mine if you go check that out as well. I like that we at least match that up, and we only have three guys outside of consensus. How that order goes remains to be seen. But overall thoughts here in terms of any of the guys we left out, any buyer's remorse or any guys maybe in terms of a redo that you would consider for the first round out of those guys? Looking at it is
maybe, I don't know. I really like Jalen Hyatt. And I just from watching Tennessee play this year, I think he's a really dynamic, you know, wide receiver. I don't know that there's such a big difference between him and the end up taking four wide receivers in the first round or
yep.
Yeah, I don't know that there's that big difference between him and some of those guys. So that's the one to me that's like he could really be a player.
I mocked him quite a bit over the last month to the Giants because they really don't have that speed on the outside. I mean, I know they have Slayton, but he's been in and out of the doghouse there in New York. So I agree with you. I think Hyatt is live. You've seen guys like speedsters, right? Like Hyatt's a pure speedster outside receiver in the NFL. And if people are talking about that they're going to take Hooker in the first round coming from an offense that doesn't translate to the NFL, I don't see why you would make an exception for him and not for Hyatt, who has that blazing speed that you need. And there's some specific teams. I think the Chiefs could be one of them. I think the Giants could be another. I think the Ravens could even be in play. You look at the 40-yard dash time and the speed and the production, some of these explosive games that this guy had in college playing in the SEC. I think Hyatt's absolutely live. And you look at the betting line, Tony. It's over under 3.5 wide receivers in the first round. It's pretty much even on both sides. And you can get plus money, real big plus money, if you found a 4.5 there, maybe even 3-1, 4-1, 5-1, et cetera. So I think there's more likely to be four. I think there's more of a chance to be five first-round wide receivers than there is three.
We're on that. Jeez. You give me three. You tell me 3.5. I'll take the over on that.
I agree because I think these guys – and you look at like guy like Henry Ruggs going to Las Vegas. Even years back when the Bengals took John Ross, who completely flamed out early in the first round, Jalen Hyatt's like that same type of old where you fall in love with the 40 time, you fall in love with the speed on tape as that burner to stretch the field. And I think that absolutely makes him live to go. And if he doesn't go in the first round, I think he's a steal early to mid second round there as well. So the main guy for me, I think, is Anton Harrison, like offensive tackle, again, premier position.
Yeah.
But who falls out? Like that's the thing is like you see all these sports book putting these odds up of guys who go first round. The problem is there. It's not a yes-no market. You can't bet no on any of these guys to not be in the first round. So the books right now, they have like 40 guys favored to go in the first round, and it doesn't make sense. And you talk about some of these other podcasts and mock drafts, guys doing great work in the industry, but you see people with these convictions that this guy is going to go first round no matter what. But my question is, who's falling out? And that's the hardest part right now, I think, when it comes to these mock drafts and who the most accurate mock drafters are going to be this year is like, who predicts the guys who are actually going to fall out of this first round here? I think you look at it, you look at the teams. I think that I'm going to use this as a guide. It's like, who has like the top 10 picks in the second round and how you can kind of use that to say like, okay, well, this team has another pick coming, you know, 15, 20 picks later. So maybe they can wait on X position and save him for the second round. I think that's going to be a big tell in terms of who last and who doesn't last from first round, end of first round to early second round there. But either way, you know, great exercise. I appreciate you hopping on. Before I let you go, Tony, I want to go.
Thank you.
I know you're not the biggest bettor in the world when it comes to the draft, but if you had to make a bet right now, we're about 30 hours away from the first pick Thursday night. What's your best bet? Or just maybe what's your biggest conviction for tomorrow night for the draft?
My biggest conviction is the four QBs in the top 10.
Okay.
That they stay put, that those four stay, that Richardson, Levis, Stroud, and Young, that none of them have the kind of the Aaron Rodgers precipitous drop out of the top 10.
I like that. I like that a lot. I'm going to go with
what's your,
I'm going to go with my best bet right now. I'm looking down at bets that I've made since I woke up this morning. But
it's, a long list
for sure. A lot of long shots on there. You know, I'm going to stick with one actually that I made yesterday that I still feel really good about. And I don't know if the lines moved since from last night to right now. I really like that Deontay Banks under 20.5. I don't think he makes it. I think he could go really early as like maybe even 14, 16. And you can bet him under 20.5. I don't think he makes it past pick 20. So that's going to be my best bet as of right now. These lines are moving crazy every single day. I'm trying to do the best.
Can I add one?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, man. Yeah, for sure.
Another thing I feel really sure about is that the Green Bay Packers are going to take a wide receiver in the first round.
Yeah, I like that too.
Or a tight end or a wide receiver in the first round.
Yeah, and you can bet both of those at like 3-1. And if either of those hit, you're going to guarantee yourself a profit on that position. I think they're both around plus 300 right now, depending on where you're shopping at. There's a strong report that came out recently that linked them to wanting to get Jaxon Smith-Njigba there. We had him going a couple picks earlier, but if not, I could definitely see the Zay Flowers that you made, and I could definitely see that tight end connection with Kincaid or with Mayer there too. I would probably lean Mayer out of those two to Green Bay. Just seems like more of that personality type of tough run blocking fit, et cetera. But I like that take there as well. Boldest prediction, something that maybe we didn't mock necessarily in this exercise here on this show. But give me one bold prediction for tomorrow night, Tony.
My boldest prediction for tomorrow night, let's see here. Gosh. I'm going to go outside the box with this one, is that that the green room, like that we're going to see peak levels of TikTok in the green room, girlfriend TikTok. I think a lot of times in the past, I this is my really bold prediction, is you see a lot of stuff on Twitter about who the guys are dating or whatever. TikTok has had such a come up in the last year or two. And that if you really want to know what's going on in the green room tomorrow, my bold prediction is that get on TikTok, figure out who these guys' girlfriends are, follow those accounts, and you're going to see more about the inside of the green room than you've ever seen in your lives. Find an uncle that got invited to the draft. Find a little brother who's over 12 or 13, a little sister. That's my prediction, is that the draft is going to go down on TikTok, and that's where the real entertainment is going to come from. Not necessarily the ESPN broadcast, which I will watch and love every year of my life, but that's it. See, you're a TikTok at the NFL draft. What's yours?
I love it, man. I love that. I'm going to have to get on TikTok right now and start hunting down those usernames and whatnot. So I got a couple. So I got one that's maybe not so big, another one that's maybe a little bigger, and then I'll go super long shot. So for like my boldest prediction, he's not the favorite, but he was the favorite a couple days ago. Not a popular pick in terms of Twitter, but longtime Houston sports columnist John McClain said on Twitter earlier that he was going to have Will Levis mock 2 to the Texans. And a lot of the recent mock drafts don't have that. I have that still. I'm likely to stick with that. I think that's my bold prediction number one, is that Levis goes number 2.
That's a deep cut. John McClain is a deep cut for that. He knows.
I worked with John McClain at GallerySports.com. It's a new website that started up a few months ago by Mattress Mack, famous sports gambler. So full disclosure, like, they hired me to build the website. I worked with their team for a couple months, training their writers and editors. I did some content there as well. John McClain has been there since day one. He's one of the premier guys that they brought on as like the face of that company. And he's, even though he's retired from the Houston Chronicle, he's still very, very, very plugged into that organization. So I was already leaning that way. I think based on some of the things we've heard about Caserio, I'm going to stick to that as well, about him wanting to keep his job long-term, needing a quarterback here. The McClain thing wraps it up for me. Now, look, some news could drop in the next 12, 24 hours here. And here's the thing. Lance Zierlein, who correctly predicted, I think he dropped the news last year where I think Aquanu was the favorite to get drafted by the Texans, and it wound up being a late switch to Stingley, and Zierlein had it. But another thing, he's way more plugged in than I'll ever be with the Texans. But before last year, I think that Zierlein had about three or four mock drafts where he didn't have their first-round pick correctly selected. So it's not the end-all, be-all with Zierlein on what he thinks is going to happen with the Texans at two. Anyways, long story short, that's my bold prediction, not-so-bold prediction.
These guys want to keep their jobs. You make such a good point there. You want to keep your job as a GM or a team president? Pick a quarterback, because it'll all be tied to that, and they won't want to fire you for another – you get another 2 or 3 years, you pick a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah. The only way that changes is if they go Stroud too, but I believe the news that, like, they don't want Stroud at two reasons. The agent thing with Watson, the S2 test, et cetera, et cetera. And I think because, again, like, the Colts have made it known they want Levis. Like, there's even saying that they would take Levis over Stroud, and I don't think that you can let the Colts get their guy, especially if the Texans made it known they don't like Levis, then I wouldn't put him there. But they've made it known that Levis could be the second best quarterback on their board, and I think in that case, with the Colts sitting there at four waiting to pounce, if you don't like Stroud, you pick Levis, don't let the Colts get Levis, and let the Colts get the guy that you don't like, and C.J. Stroud. So that's how I see it playing out right now. My second biggest prediction, Gibbs isn't a bold prediction anymore to go first round. I'm going to go with what you just said, Tony, which is Jalin Hyatt to be a first round pick. You can bet that at like 4-1. I think it's even possible that he goes first round and another guy slips out. Maybe Quentin Johnson slips out. Maybe Zay Flowers. Maybe Jordan Addison. These guys have such wide range of the outcome at wide receiver. There's not a consensus on who is the top receiver in this class. You look at all the different big boards in the industry. So maybe it's just five receivers all packed in there in the first round. Jalin Hyatt as a first round pick. That's my second bold prediction. And I'm going to go my long, super, super long shot. I'm going to go with the Cardinals to either take a running back first or to take Jalen Carter. And you can bet both of those at pretty big numbers. You can take the Cardinals to draft Jalen Carter at 15-1.
Oh my God.
We don't know where. Here's the thing. We don't know where. First of all, we haven't even heard news that they don't want Carter at three. But let's say that they trade back one pick to the Colts. The Colts get their quarterback. Then the Cardinals maybe take another guy at four. Or maybe they trade back for five or for six. Like, we really don't know how that's going to go. Or maybe they just take Carter at three because he's the best prospect on the board. So I think at 15-1, I'm not saying it should be like a favorite, but at 15-1, I think there's some value there. Yeah, especially if they trade back to like 8 or 9, it could be even more realistic that Carter falls in that spot. Also, what if the Cardinals trade back to like a pick 12 and somehow Bijan Robinson's on the board? Go look at the Cardinals running back depth chart. Tell me why they would not take a running back. You can bet them to draft Bijan Robinson at really long numbers right now. And even if they were to drop back into like the late first round, I think they're also live to maybe even draft the Jahmyr Gibbs in that spot. They're obviously they're invested in Kyler Murray and that offense, and they need help all across the board. So I think they're extremely live to draft offense. Could be offensive tackle, could be wide receiver, could be running back. Those are like the longest, boldest odds for the Cardinals right now, but I think that they're all in play. I would not be surprised to see the Cardinals walk away. The only halfway decent running back on their depth chart is James Conner, and he's not that old, but he seems very old. He's been around for a long time, so they don't have anything behind them, and I could see them making that type of splash there with either a Robinson or a Gibbs type there, or even trading out of the first round in general and taking like a Zach Charbonnet or a Devontae Chain, something like that, in like the late second round. Who knows that's going to happen, but I think that's live as a long shot bet there. So those are my three boldest predictions for tomorrow night there.
I love the Carter one at three. That's great. Go ahead. I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, like, any final thoughts before we sign off here?
I love the Carter one at three. You said about Hyatt. The more I think about it, the more the five wide receivers in the fence, but more than anything, this was a lot of fun, man. Thank you very much. I'm gonna re-team up for an NBA mock draft like this in the future in a couple months.
I love it for sure. And we're going to have this posted on our podcast feed at the Betting Predators on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts at. I'll post a link on our website as well. If you're catching this later, you can catch all of Tony's work at stadiumtalk.com. There's really great sports content over there. Tony, I appreciate you making the time out here today to come on our show. Absolutely would love to do an NBA draft podcast. So maybe we'll have to talk about that here in the next month and how we want to approach that. But I'm 100% on board with that. Otherwise, you can catch Tony on Twitter, T_Adame. That's T_ADAME. Other than that, Tony, man, you know, best of luck tomorrow night and your predictions on your mock draft, on any bets you might make as well. And I'll catch you next time, man. Let's do it again soon.
See you later, brother.
All right,
thank you.
Take it easy, man.